sometimes we need to go back to the place we first received the Lord, because we walk along in this life and we tend to get off track and put God on the side, and we need to be taken back to see, remember what he did for us back then when we were zealous for the Lord. Now that we don't have that zealousness anymore, the hearts are going cold. And that, the last lines of the script of that song was, we try so hard to make it out on our own. We want to do it all alone, forgetting that it's the Lord that delivered us and brought us to the place where we are. We need his help to make it home. And we're looking for that blessed home, aren't we? That home in glory, where we're going to see the Lord face to face. And every day, we're going to be shouting, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah time. Hallelujah, hallelujah time. Isn't it a good day to be in the house of the Lord? But give the Lord a hand, praise then, if you'd happen to be here. God has blessed you. He woke you up this morning. And he got you here. And I look out and I see smiles. That's the goodness of the Lord. We should rejoice each day we open our eyes. And then we can put our feet on the floor and stand up. That's a blessing from the Lord. And then we can feed ourselves and drink water ourselves. And it's a blessing from the Lord. But we don't praise him enough. We just take things for granted. But nothing is taken for granted. Even the next breath is not promised to you. That's not my sermon, but we're going to get it started that way, okay? The sermon is coming from the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 22 to 25. We're going to see the goodness of the Lord in that, you know, just those four verses. We can see. If y'all know you read it so many times, you probably got it all memorized, huh? We can see the goodness of the Lord. And again, the passes away. We prayed for him and it's pray, travel, and mercy that they have a joyous time. You know that they have a big family reunion. They have 300 people sometimes. So they don't travel to churches and overflow them. So they usually have their services at their hotel wherever they're staying. So we know now they're in their services. We pray now that the Lord is being lifted up, and that's why we're here, to lift up the Lord, isn't it? So we serve a good God. He is still holy. He loves us, but he's still holy. We have to respect who he is. And the story today, the story that comes from Luke today, the disciples learn to respect who he is too, don't they? And they were in the midst of a ship in the middle of a lake, and a storm came. And let's read it. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 20. Thank you. Brother Pritchard, you remember when I forgot. He just started walking. I picked it up right away. Picked up the hint. Ushers, please, thank you so much. We have our faithful ushers, don't we? They're always on their post. Amen. Always on their post. Everybody found it? Luke 8, again at verse 22. Night came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let's go into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But at their sail he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Heavenly Father, we come in the precious name of Son Jesus, thanking you again for your word. And Lord, you ask you to guide us through it now, that you would show us what you would have us teach and to preach. We thank you again for all who took the time to come today. And we thank you also, Lord, we will soon come together and celebrate the supper you did celebrate with your disciples as we come around the communion table. We pray that all we do here today, that you will be glorified and be pleased. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So Jesus had been out with the disciples preaching all day. And at the end of the day, he's a little tired. And he said to his disciples, so now it came to a certain day that they went into a ship. He said, let's go on to the other side of the lake. They thought that we'll go and get some rest after preaching about the parables of the sower and the seed and the grain of the mustard seed. So he said, come on, let's go on the other side of the lake. As you read the scripture, Jesus will be ministering over there also. And notice that he didn't say, you go on the other side. He went with them. And that's what Jesus does. He goes with us when he gives us commandments. He did not only send us, but he goes with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, living each side of us who have confessed him as Savior and Lord. So he went over to get some rest because all the ministry, and he said, and they had not sailed very long, and Jesus went into the bottom of the ship, or to the rear of the ship, the hinder part of the ship, it said, and he fell asleep on a pillow. And then while he was sleeping, a storm came. And it was a sudden storm because they didn't expect it, because when they started out, the lake was smooth, there's no wind blowing, everything was calm and serene. But a wind came up. If you read anything about the Sea of Galilee, it's down in the sides of some mountains on each side. And it has a narrow inlet. So if the wind come down in there, it comes powerful and it stays for a while until it blows itself out. So it's called a sirocco. Because of the power of it. And so when the wind and the rain came, this ship started to fill with water. And it says they were in jeopardy of sinking. So they rowed as hard as fast as they could to try to get out of the storm. They also got buckets and anything else they could to bail the water out of the ship. They had a real problem. The ship was being lifted up and tossed. And they were in distress. And Christ was in the ship asleep. But it tells us something about Christ. It tells us that the body he had was a real human body. And was subject to getting tired and needing rest. But it has infirmities that we could have. But it had all the infirmity we have, which is sicknesses and illnesses and broken bones, but it did not have any sin. So you have to remember that. Though he had a human body, they didn't have any sin in it like ours. And it says that he was asleep. That does not change anything of his divinity. Because he is, even though he slept as a man, he is the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And I did it again to you all, didn't I? I know you already read it on the chart. Faith in Christ will calm the storm. So right at the top of the book. That's my text topic. And so the disciples had a real problem here. They said, this water is coming in the ship and we can't roar fast enough or bail it out fast enough to get out of this. Just like the disciples, we have problems too. And the Lord has not promised us that he's going to deliver us from all our problems. But he has promised us to be with us when we go through the problems. Amen. And that he would deliver us from the fear and the worry that we have in the problems. Because when you belong to Jesus, when you are a child of God, he knows everything that you are experiencing. So we tend to think like the disciples on this ship that Jesus is asleep sometime. He's always aware. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He knows everything. He's everywhere at every time, and he's all powerful. You can't do those things if you're asleep. So Jesus is always aware of what's going on in your life. And faith in Christ will calm the storm. Then we look at verse, we go down to verse 24. When they realized that they couldn't do anything on their own, they came running to Jesus. They came from another part of the ship. And they came running down to him. And they said, Master, Master, save us. We perish. They reached the conclusion that no matter what they did, it wouldn't be enough. They couldn't row fast enough. They couldn't dip the water out fast enough to save themselves. So they came to Jesus. But see, they realized where the help was. See, after all, they had seen the miracles that he had been doing before. They saw when he raised, when he healed the centurion servant. He spoke the word. He didn't even go where the servant was. He spoke the word. And he said, your faith, go in faith. And he went, and the servant was on the way back home. And he told him, he said, Lord, he's healed. He said, when did it happen? He said, at 1 o'clock yesterday. And that was the very time that Jesus said he was healed. And he raised the woman's dead son. It had him in the casket, going to bury the young boy. And Jesus came and touched the coffin. And the young boy sat up. He done all these things. So the disciples knew what he was capable of. So that's why they came running to him. They seen all his miracles. But we see, if you go over and read Mark 4:30, it says, the word was a little stronger. They awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? In other words, how can you lie here sleeping when we are about to drown? Don't you care that whether we are saved or lost? See, they prayed, Master, Master, but they say that in that prayer, they said wrong thing. They said, we perish. And that was not true. They had forgotten what he said back in verse 22. He said, let's go over to the other side. So if Christ said, well, let's go over to the other side, then that means they're going to make it to the other side. Their unbelief caused them to fail. And the unsaved, those who are unbelievers, are not the only ones who suffer for unbelief. We are guilty of the same thing. Too often, we Christians, we grieve our Holy Spirit and we break the heart of our Lord because we fail to believe his word. Like disciples, we sometimes find ourselves in difficulties and trials, but we don't pray. But if we were to pray in the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26-27, according to the will of God, 1 John 5:14, and with unwavering faith, James 1:6-7, then our prayers are pleasing to God and will have fruitful results. So faith in Christ will calm the storm. But look what Christ did. So Christ, they'd already woken him up with all his shouting and screaming. So he prayed. Then Christ arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they cease. And there was a great calm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He spoke with authority and reproved the wind as if he was talking to a servant who had overstepped his bounds. He said to the sea, peace, be still. All be silent, and no longer threaten us with shipwreck and loss of life. And as soon as the words were spoken, immediately the wind stopped blowing. The waves stopped lapping against the ship. And his actions gave proof. He should have given proof to the disciples that this must be the Most High God who gathers the wind in his fist and still the noise of the seas and the waves. And after he rebuked the wind, he said, then in verse 25, he says to the disciples, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Christ wondered what had become of their faith. He said, you profess to believe in me, and your faith is gone already? They had no faith in him as sleeping, that he could deliver them. But he thought they might have a little faith in him if they woke him up. But Jesus confronts them because he is that eternal God who is able to save us whether he's awake or asleep. He will save all who repent of their sins and turn to him in faith. And the faith that disciples had was very small. So he barely could call faith at all. See, it must have been smaller than a grain of a mustard seed, because that mustard seed faith said it could move mountains and toss them into a sea. But we need to give them a little credit, because they did come running to Jesus to save us. Even then, they feared it was too late, because they were thought was past hope. And they said, we are perishing. We are perishing. But notice the love of Jesus Christ and his graciousness. He first rebuked the wind before he rebuked the disciples. That's his love for them. He took care of the problem. He just stopped the problem, and then he dealt with those who were in the problem. And he said, where's your faith? Notice he did not say, you don't have faith, but he was asking, why didn't you use the faith that you have? Why don't we use the faith that we have? Why don't we use the faith that we have? We are like the disciples. We are living lives of defeat and unfruitfulness because we don't believe God has the ability or the willingness to do what is best for us. We don't trust him. We confess him, but we don't trust him. So we say the disciples' faith was small because when Jesus stopped the storm in the tracks, they marveled. They were astonished at it. They didn't expect it. You went to Jesus asking him to help, but he didn't even need your help. They didn't expect it. They stood astonished. They stood astonished. Say, even the wind and the wind obey him. They were so filled with his awesome sense of majesty and authority and a power. They didn't know what to say. They said, what manner of man is this? This instance made them aware, though, that Jesus was God. So he was more than a mere man. He has power over the wind and the seas. Because faith in Christ will calm the storm. And they came and they worship him as God at this point. They're starting to come around a little bit. Say he commands the wind and the water. And they finally were starting to focus on Jesus rather than on the circumstances. So this is what our experience and difficulty should do for us. We should bring us to that place where we find that Jesus is all that we need in the storms of life. Even when we go forth at God's command sometimes, we're going to experience difficulties. The disciples were in the center of God's will because he told them to go to the other side of the lake, and they encountered a dreadful storm and appeared to be in danger of drowning. Doesn't a storm with Christ on board seem like a contradiction? You think everything with Christ there should be smooth, isn't it? You would think that, right? But sometimes, see, God, when he works, sometimes his mysteries are beyond our comprehension. And we can't even understand it. And see, sometimes he tests our faith so that it can be strengthened. And he delays his responses to our prayers so that our prayers may become more intense and our gratitude more full when deliverance comes. So if he gave it to us right now without any struggles on our part, without us appreciating what he does for us, we take it for granted. Amen. Just like walking, we take it for granted. Eating, we take it for granted. But it's a blessing from the Lord. It's a blessing from the Lord. So we cause ourselves needless fears because we fail to rest on the sure word and promise of a God. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28:20, I will be with you to the end of the world. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care on me because I care for you. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a power and of love and of a sound mind. The promise of God. If the disciples had just recalled Jesus' words, let us go over unto the other side, they would have known that they would have reached their destination safely. The Lord didn't just say, let's go. He said, let's go on the other side. He didn't say, let's go into the middle of the lake and drown. But that's what they thought. The faith was weak. And our faith gets weak. But we can boldly stick out our chest and say, I'm a Christian. But when the struggles come, oh Lord, woe with me. See, when the struggles come, we try do everything ourselves and not ask Jesus to help us. See, we insist on working things out because nobody understands my problems but me. Even the people of God don't understand my problems. God don't understand my problems. So I got to work on this myself. But Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly through the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to find help in the time of need. The word of God. It's not something I said. It's this word. Come to him. So you have grace to endure the struggles and the storms when they come into your life. Because faith in Christ will calm the storms. When financial hardships come, we work harder. We work longer. And sometimes we take on that extra job. And when you do all that, you neglect your mind. You neglect your body. You neglect your family. And you neglect God, the very one who is going to help you through the problem. But do we pray that God will walk with us, will guide us through the situation? Oh, no, that's too impractical. God doesn't answer my prayer. So other storms come crashing into our lives. Then the world starts to shake underneath us. My business starts to lose money. My job gets outsourced. My wife and I are not speaking to each other. The children are out of control. But we don't turn to God because we don't have the faith that he could solve these problems. See, we don't expect him to work for us. Oh, but we'll say, I'm a Christian. But we don't exercise the faith, the privileges that we have as being Christians. Even when we can't bear up under the burdens, we try to keep on going. After all, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. So we go on performing, putting on the happy face because I can't let the world see that I'm broken. My situation is hopeless. I'm weak. Why do we do that? Because we don't have faith. We don't trust that God is able to do the right thing for us. See, but I don't want you to be like the disciples. Don't have a little faith. When a storm comes, and they will. John 16:33 tells us that. In this world you will have trouble. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. You can stand on that. He tells you you're going to have problems. He said, but be of good courage. Okay? And that means don't depend on what we can do for ourselves to get us through it. But trust in the fact that the Lord God Almighty is our refuge and strength in a very present help in the time of trouble. Psalm 46:1. Remember that true faith grabs hold of the promises of God, claiming his provisions, his forgiveness, his healings, his deliverance, and most of all, his salvation. Especially salvation. Because when Jesus saves us, we are saved eternally. If everything else is shaking in your life, believe that. When you confess Jesus Christ and give your heart to him and submit your life to him, you are saved eternally. And John 10 said, no one can pluck them out of his hands, and his father is stronger, and no one can pluck them out of his father's hands. So when you're in Jesus' hand, you are saved eternally. So if you haven't confessed him as Savior and Lord of your life, today would be a good day to do so. Give your life over to him. So when we go through the life depending on ourselves, the storms overwhelm us and we get washed overboard and we drown. But Jesus is the life raft, the life vest. If you're in the Lord, you're not going to let his children sink. No matter when the storm comes, he's not going to say this. But with faith in Jesus, we can experience the incredible power that God provides for his children, that are those of us who have been born again. God's grace is sufficient for all your difficulties. It will carry you through any circumstance if you will look to Christ in faith. But the Lord specializes in solving problems that man thinks are impossible. Whatever storm is threatening you, put your faith to work and give your mind and body a rest. Because faith in Christ will calm the storm and give you a peace of mind that passes understanding. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. Faith in Christ will calm the storms in your life. And the disciples found that out. So they were still thinking, even after all the miracles he'd worked, they still were thinking he was a good prophet. So that's why when he stilled the storm and the wind, that's why they were astonished. That's why they marveled and say, what manner of man is this? But they found that he is God. And I want you to know that Jesus is God. And he's available to take you through any situations if you would just trust him. If we just exercise the faith that he's given you. Because he was teaching about the mustard seeds. If your faith is as much faith as a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed, that you can move mountains. I mean, that's hyperbole, but what he's saying is that all you need is faith in him, that he will bring you through the situations. There will be someone here today who has not experienced all that God has for you and has not completely yielded your life over to him or know him as Lord and Savior of life. I was reading something about, and it said that the worthless briar. Once there was a briar growing up in a ditch, and there came along a gardener with a spade. And he's dug around it and lifted it out. The briar said to itself, what is he doing that for? Doesn't he know that I am an old, worthless briar? But the gardener took it into the garden and planted among the flowers. While the briar said, what a mistake he has made. Planting an old briar like myself among such roses as these. But the gardener came once more with his keen-edged knife, made a slit in the briar, and budded it with a rose. And by, when summer came, lovely roses were blooming on that old briar. Then the gardener said, your beauty is not due to that which came out of you, but to that which I put into you. Just as God can cause the most glorious of roses to grow out of such a poor, dried stick as we are. When Jesus comes into you, you become a rose also. Isn't that wonderful? When he fills you with his spirit, we're not on a dry stick, we are just dust, as my wife prayed. But when Jesus comes in, we can be roses. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe there's somebody today who wants to become a rose. We want to become a flower in Jesus' garden. Is there one today? Is there one today? Perhaps there's someone looking for a church home. Somewhere to fellowship and worship. We will welcome you here at the Community Baptist Church of Walbrook. We want you to be led by the Spirit to come and do what thus says the Lord. So we don't, like the pastor always said, we don't press anybody to join here. We don't press anybody to give their lives to Christ. The Holy Spirit's going to do that. We're just supposed to give the word of God. And I pray that today, as Jesus was in the ship with the disciples, when you confess him and Lord and Savior your life and truly live it, he's going to be in the ship with you too. And your ship won't sink. Amen. Just think about it. Amen. He made a box called an ark and it never sank. Amen. So if an ark can float, you can float too. But if you trust in Jesus. Because faith in Christ will calm the storm. God bless. Amen.